As an entrepreneur, we're always wanting to know where in the journey am I right now? What's my next level? Well, I've put together a free quiz that will tell you exactly that. It's called the Freedom Finder Quiz, and you can find it at freedomfinderquiz.com. It's free, takes less than 3 minutes to complete. I timed it. And at the end, it will tell you exactly where you are in your business freedom journey and what to focus on next to move to that next level of building a business that provides you more money and freedom. So take the quiz today at freedomfinderquiz.com.
The cool thing about being with these guys that had been in business for maybe 2 to 3 years now is they were kind of that one next level ahead of me in business. And so I got to learn from them as they were going through their different stages. And that's when I got to read some different books and got some recommendations about what I should be doing.
Hello and welcome everyone to another episode. I am your host, Carl Taylor, and today we have another great conversation episode. It's not just me sharing some stuff, but we've got an amazing guest. And I actually should have asked him this before I hit record, but how do I pronounce your last name, Jordan?
It's De Jong. It's a silent J.
De Jong. All right. So it's Jordan De Jong. And let me tell you a little bit about Jordan. Firstly, I first met Jordan last year at a snow retreat. Well, technically we weren't in the snow yet, but it was the first night dinner of a snow retreat. And we were just having a great chat on that first night, walking from the hotel down to dinner. And Jordan was just kind of sharing his journey of what he's done. And that's what we're going to unpack a little bit more on today's show. Jordan is a qualified property investment advisor who continuously works with some of the most renowned property experts here in Australia to build out strategies and review existing property portfolios for their clients. So he's all about property. What he doesn't say here in his bio is he's also all about software and tech. Jordan, on the property side of things, has seen over 3,000 plus property portfolios, and his passion is in educating clients on the power of residential property in particular here in Australia. And he's built Australia's largest online property portfolio mapping software. So I've actually used this software. It's called Game Plans, and it allows you to build out scenarios, model different scenarios. And I was able to use this software, Game Plans, personally. I was sitting in this conundrum of which route did I want to go, negatively geared, positive cash flow, commercial property, mix of the above. And I was able to map all those different scenarios over the next 20, 30 years of different acquisitions I might make following different strategies to see the end result in cash flow, in capital growth, in everything. And it's just a really great tool. So kudos to you. So welcome, dude. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. What a wrap. And yes, I do reminisce about that discussion we were having late one evening walking down the pathway. But it was really, really good. I got to learn a lot about you and what you're up to and what you're doing, and love your journey as well. But yeah, keen to unpack it all today.
Thanks, man. Well, yeah, look, as you know, I've taken a keen interest since I became a dad, and I know you're not that long into being a dad either. You know, for me, there was a big aha of being an entrepreneur for 20 something years before becoming a dad. And then becoming a dad, there was this big aha of what changes and what's different once you become a dad. So that was my journey. I had been in business for most of my life since I was 15 before becoming a dad. But I know for you, it was different. So let's maybe start there. Like, just start sharing that story.
Yeah, 100%. So backstory, went to school, finished year 12, went to uni, studied a Bachelor of Construction Management and slotted into my first corporate job at 19, I think. And I think I was earning like 20 grand a year or something crazy. I was only doing 1 or 2 days and just getting paid nothing. But it was a typical growing up experience. And I suppose what equated from that was me spending 10 years on the corporate ladder, you know, and I loved it. I grew my way up the ladder. I, you know, ended up getting my income to above six figures and grew my way up through the hierarchy of the business. But I had the complete opposite story. So for me, we ended up having our daughter Summer. I think I was about 29. And I remember once we had her, I was holding her in my arms and I looked at her and I go, oh my God, this was me 29 years ago. Like, how flipping short is life? And at the same time, I had my dad come to visit me not too before then. And I could start to see him getting a little bit older. Like, he was, you know, 60 now. He's starting to deteriorate. He wasn't as quick and snappy as he always had been. And I was like, man, like another 30 years, I'm going to be there. Like, how flipping short is life? And so In the back of my head, I always knew I wanted to start a business and I knew that I would do it someday. I just had no freaking idea what I was going to do. But that was ultimately the moment for me to go, wow, life is way too short. And if I don't pull the trigger and make a move now, I don't think I'll ever do it. And I'll get too comfortable and I'll have this really nice, automatic income that comes through from a normal job. And I'll never pull the trigger to actually step out and make a decision to start the business.
I love that. It's like, if not now, when kind of thought process. And I could relate, I'm sure many others listening can, of seeing your parents now. I'm in my late 30s, but like seeing your parents and you see them as older. You just see how old they've, not old, but how much older they've gotten. And it is, you kind of go, oh, okay, like there is, my time with them is limited. And as you said, I'm not that far from becoming that. That's only another 20, 30 years away. So, yeah, dude.
It's so crazy. And then like you think about like their parents and how, they're nearly getting to that. Some of them are passing away. They're really getting old and injuring themselves. And it's just like that. I just really had this moment of like, and it was almost like overnight. It was really weird. It's kind of like I had matured and then like kind of looked at everything and just went, wow, this is such a short life. So yeah, 100%.
And so when you chose to start a business, did you just throw in the towel, corporate world, and go, I'm in business? Or did you kind of stagger it? Or, how did you actually go about the mechanics of, because you said, like, what am I going to start? Like, how did you land on what you're doing?
Yeah, well, I like to tell people that I just said that I quit and left, which I kind of really did. Like one day I was just like, I've had enough. Like I'm out of here. Here's my 4 weeks. And I really had no idea what I was going to do. Like that's the honest truth. But there is a little bit of a backstory. So 5 years prior, I started a property podcast and I would have been like 23, 24 at the time. It was all about younger people getting into the property market. And through that podcast over 2 or 3 years, I met heaps of really cool people. I met people that were my age who had property portfolios. And funnily enough, behind the scenes, there was this industry called the buyer's agent, which is kind of a new industry in Australia, very big in UK and America. But that was really growing it behind the scenes. And so all these guys that I was getting on the podcast actually ended up becoming buyer's agents. And so when I stepped off the corporate ladder, I had no idea what I was going to do. But what I did have is a whole bunch of 25 to 35 year old young dudes who are all starting businesses and super, super hungry. And I know like we'll probably get into this a little bit later on, but I kind of saw that as a bit of an opportunity. And I thought, this is a new industry with young people who are keen to understand technology. I was a data set, like I studied construction management, but I ended up getting into data and databases and analytics and ended up becoming a data science at the company that I was at. So I had these tech skills behind the scenes that I had building. And so I was like, okay, well, there's got to be some sort of tech that I can build for these young guys in a new industry that's going to help them and solve their problem. So for me, what I did was I ended up just calling up five or six of them that I was really, really close with. And I said, look, I'm leaving my corporate job. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but can I contract for you guys and do some things and sort of see how your business is going to roll? Now, I could have become a buyer's agent, but I don't really like, I'm an introvert, like a massive introvert. It's funny, Carl talking about the story of our snow trip. Like we went away for 4 or 5 days with 16 people. And by the end of the trip, I was like in the corner eating my lunch by myself because I just like, it was
Too
just
much
too much
people.
for so long. So buyer's agency wasn't for me, but I was really good at the tech side of things. And so I was like, let me contract out to you guys. Let me kind of just see what I might like to do within your business. And so I was working for like four to six different companies at any one point in time. And I wanted to go through every different stage, like see where their biggest problems were and where the commonalities between their problems were. And there was a few, like there was some CRM issues, there was some report issues, there was some like getting data and analytics on the property market around Australia, which was really, really cool. But the one thing that like was such a big problem that came up for everyone is every client comes to us wanting to build out an investment portfolio. But we were spending, or they were spending 2 to 4 hours per lead. So they weren't even a client yet, showing them how to build a portfolio just to give the client the confidence that they could go out and build them an investment portfolio that would ultimately get them to their goals of 100K or 200K worth of passive income. And so this 2 to 4 hours per lead was actually really taking up a lot of time for them. And so this is what I focused on. I just doubled down. I said, everyone is having the same problem. Let me run the sessions. Like, let me understand what actually is going in behind the scenes. I had built my property portfolios on the corporate ladder, and I had built like this massive spreadsheet that would tell me when I would be able to retire. So I'm very analytical, and this is something that was already kind of running in the background. But I was like, well, how do I take this spreadsheet and help other people do it? And I really fell in love because I have that analytical background with building out the whole strategy side of things. So I identified the problem. I just wanted to completely understand the problem. So I contracted out these guys for about 6 months, built this ginormous freaking Excel spreadsheet that, would solve every single problem and deal with all the issues and like really get them towards their goal. So I solved the problem for them. The secondary problem that would come up to that is if you send an Excel spreadsheet to someone, they're going to tamper around with some calculations. They're going to edit some things. They're going to put some data in incorrectly. And generally, you get this, ensemble of things back that doesn't make sense and add up. So, given the tech background, I just said to everyone, look, give me 6 months. I'm going to go away. I'm going to go build this software in the background, and then I'll bring it to market once it's ready. So, I went away, did that, brought it to market, essentially turned the Excel spreadsheet that I had into this platform, and they loved it. Everyone loved it. All six of those companies implemented it straight away. We got a really, really good market validation because clients now had the ability to have a portal that they could log in, and it felt like it was the business's portal. We were able to white label it. It felt like a more, ingrained process altogether. I was then able to scale, from giving my time to doing these sessions to giving people the power to do it themselves, essentially, with also having someone to back and teach them and learn how to use it. I was able to take away from my time, which wasn't scalable, teach other people how to do it so they can do it in their own time. But then we ended up going from six businesses. I think in the first 3 months, we were at about 20 or so. First year, we're probably at about 50, which was crazy. And now we're, 2.5 years in and have over 150 businesses that we work with across Australia. So,
Love it. So
it was
good,
just
man.
about identifying that problem at the start.
And one of the things I'm curious about is all of those things you did, the kind of the data validation, digging in, finding your initial clients, was any of that strategically planned because you'd read books about the lean product playbook? Because that's kind of effectively what you follow, the lean product playbook right there. But did you do that consciously or did it just seem to happen?
Mate, the funny thing is, I hadn't read like a tech book beforehand or like any sort of business book. I didn't even have any business experience. And I think the best thing that I did, and for someone listening who hasn't started a business yet or might be in the early stages of the business, two of those contracting jobs that I did actually included sales. And so I would do the sales for these businesses, and then I would provide a strategy for their client as well. And that was honestly the best thing I ever did, was learn about sales and marketing and, follow-up emails and sequences and everything else like that. Like ultimately, that's what has really generated and created my business over the years. So I hadn't read anything, I hadn't learned anything. And so I was just kind of learning as I was going, not being on the corporate ladder, you don't learn any of that stuff. So I was learning as I was going. And then the cool thing about being with these guys that had been in business for maybe 2 to 3 years now is they were kind of that one next level ahead of me in business. And so I got to learn from them as they were going through their different stages. And that's when I got to, read some different books and got some recommendations about what I should be doing, get to meet people like you. And, actually my favorite book ever is 10X is Easier Than 2X. And you were the one who told me to read that. So,
Yeah, Dan Sullivan. Good book.
It's amazing. So yeah, it wasn't probably until I just went hard. I was spending 12 hours a day minimum working, whether I was on a call, building the product, talking to people, talking to clients. Like I was literally learning as I was going. And it probably wasn't until maybe 12 months in where I slowed down a bit and said, okay, like the business is proven. How do I actually build a business now?
Well, let's go there for a moment because that's an interesting place for you to bring up because obviously you're a new dad, and here you are spending 12-hour plus days on your business. Firstly, how did that impact your relationship?
Yeah, it's a really good question. This was in the middle of COVID. And so it's a bit of a journey, so I'll take you through it. This was kind of in the middle of COVID. And my wife is Italian. And we often, you want to used to live in Melbourne, now we live in Gold Coast. And we'd often go for dinner there maybe once or twice a week. We really got on with the family. We'd all have this really nice, family get together and dinners and everything else like that. And so in the middle of COVID, where we couldn't catch up to each other, Melbourne was completely locked down and everything else like that. My wife and I decided that we would get a really large house and we'd all move in together. Now, it wasn't the whole family. It was just my wife's parents and us. And we had Summer at the time, which is our daughter. And so that's what gave me the flexibility and a little bit of a mental check just to go, okay, well, we've got four people in the house. The grandparents are around.
Support.
My wife's amazing. Like, she's the best mom in the world, but she also had support from her parents and her mom whenever she needed it as well, which was really, really great for Summer because she got all of this support. But it wasn't the best for mine and Summer's relationship
I
because
was going to get there next, yeah.
because I was just super focused on the business and I wasn't spending as much time as I should with her. And same for Renee as well, my wife. Like, she was spending all the time with Summer that she needed to. And then, like, to get her steam off, she was like kind of talking to her parents. And I was just in the room coding something or on the phone or something. So I wasn't spending a lot of time with her as well. And look, we have a really great relationship. Like, it didn't impact us in terms of we were fighting or she was upset that we weren't getting time together. And you really couldn't see it at a surface level. But it wasn't until we actually moved to the Gold Coast and it became just me, her, and Summer again, where I realized we've actually lost a fair bit of our relationship that we had when we were just together and it was just us two. And I was spending the nights working. Like, I'd still be working at 6 or 7 o'clock, where Renee had, had Summer all day and she was exhausted and she just wanted to be relieved. And I was just kind of like, oh no, I've always just worked. And I didn't really have that. It took me a little while to go back and go, actually, like, Renee needs help after work. Like, I need to stop working and spend time with my daughter and my wife and just get to know them. So I was blessed in the fact that Renee had support around her, which was really handy to help me, allow me to continue to build a business. But if I had my time again and we didn't have that support, like, it's something that I would change completely. It's time that I would never get back. And look, she was a baby and she's not going to remember it as such. But for me, like, I felt like I'd lost a bit of time with her in her early days. It's been great because we've got a really good relationship now, but definitely did have an impact for sure.
Yeah. And well, I mean, it's interesting this because, anyone who's in business, you're trying to balance this. It is like a baby, like having it, like especially early days of the business, it's a very needy baby, just like a real baby. And then as they get older, you set things up, they don't have to need you as much, right? Like my business needs me 4 hours a month. That's very different to the early stages. So you had this new baby of a business and you had a new baby. And so you've done what, frankly, many men do. Is all the energy and focus goes on the business baby, and the home life gets a little bit, left. And as you said, like what you're saying of like, oh, well, it wasn't like we had more fights and stuff. That's quite normal too for many men, I find. But it's that when you finally go, hey, actually, when you come up for air, you go, hold on, we don't have the relationship, we don't have the connection we used to have. Like, I don't know my kids don't know me. Like, and so the fact that I know you've in a very short period of time, like what you have done is amazing. And in my experience, quite rare in the speed of which you've been able to have the success you've had, which is amazing. You had all this background that's allowed you and paid off to allow to create what you've created. Not everyone listening to this had that for their own journey. I definitely didn't have that for my journey. And if you're listening to this going, oh, cool, I'll be able to do it. Absolutely. The fact that Jordan's done it shows it's possible. I just want to set that context, though, that in my experience, it's not the norm that in a short period of time, you were able to get to a point where now, you can step back a little bit. I remember we had this conversation, I think it was late last year, and you were like, yeah, like there's not many people who can relate to it, but you were kind of like, well, I've kind of got a lot of money and I've got a lot of, I've got flexibility. What do I do with that? So let's fast forward, I guess, to right now. What does your time look like? You were spending 12 hours then. What's it like now in terms of business relationship, spending time with, work-life balance. I like to think work-life integration, but what's that look like now?
Yeah, and like, honestly, if you're listening to this, you're at a good place because Carl's had a massive impact on like that whole philosophy for me. So I remember on the way up to OzCon, I don't know if it was you, but someone was grilling me on like, why don't you hire someone? Why don't you get someone to do something else? Because I was just wearing all hats, right? That's all I had never known. I'd learned sales, I learned marketing, I knew how to code, I was understanding business. And so I just felt like I could continue to do it all forever. And so, yeah, I just went through this season of there was another guy on the trip called Jack, who runs a quite a large software company over in America. And he said, go check out this website. You'll be able to find some developers. They can help you out with some stuff. And I was like, ah, I don't know. And then I think you would, or Will were talking about, looking at getting a VA and having some VA do some help around that sort of stuff. And so I kind of tested the water a bit and dabbled my feet. And it was funny. I was saying like, oh, I'd love to get a developer to help me do X, Y, and Z with the platform. Help with some authentication or stuff, stuff that I just don't enjoy. Like I like working on the modeling, not like the login process. And I was like, oh, I'd love to, just test the waters with that. And he goes, mate, you'll test the waters and then you'll think of something else that they can do. And then you'll think of something else
Exactly.
that you do. And then you'll realize that actually there's, a full-time role here. And then you realize that actually it'd be
Multiple
nice
full-time roles.
to do all three of them actually doing things all the time. And so for me, it was such a valuable trip and just an understanding and just getting a different like context on how it all works. And there's this methodology in 10x is better than 2x, which is essentially just writing down like everything that you do. And then highlighting the 80% of things that are taking up most of your time and highlighting the 20% of things that are progressing you or moving you forward or moving the needle for you. And so I just went through this really big process of saying, like, I love coding. There's nothing more in the bottom of my heart. I love just switching off for the day, headphones on, and just coding for 12 hours. Like, that's my dream day. But it also takes up all of my time. And so I had to place that back down. Sales, I had to move on. Actually doing the strategies like one-on-one with clients, I had to stop doing. And these are all things, these are all hats that I was wearing forever. But I really highlighted and went, well, those 12 hours are actually consumed by all these things that I can actually just pay someone else to do. And I think you were actually talking about running the number on your automation number or whatever it might be.
Automation
And
rate. Yep.
yeah, I mean, do you want to give us just a gist of that so I don't
Yeah.
muck it
In
up?
general, your automation rate is effectively what you can afford to pay someone to free up an hour of your time, right? And I think there's a previous episode where we've gone through this already, but in a nutshell, you're looking at taking your owner's hourly rate. So you figure out what's your salary, how much are you taking out of the business, right? That's everything: profit, salary, business expenses, dividing that by the number of hours you work per week and the weeks you work per year. And that'll give you your owner's hourly rate. That's how much you earn as a, for your time. That's what you're putting in time for money. Then to get your automation rate, you divide that by a multiple of either two or four to figure out what's the return. Because you don't want to just go, cool, I've paid someone the same amount as me. You haven't made any return. You want to actually get a return on your investment as you would in any investment. So you're looking for either a 2 to a 4 times return on your time. And so if let's say you got an hourly rate of $100 and you were do it looking for a 4 times return, that means you can afford to pay $25 an hour to someone to free up that hour of your time. And it's when I say an hour, I'm not saying like you can pay that person $25 an hour and they take 3 hours to do something you can do in an hour. I'm saying you can pay $25 to get an hour of your time back. And so if they take 3 hours to do it, but it frees up your time, it would be that 25 divided by three is effectively the hourly rate they should be earning. So that's in a nutshell. I think we've got some other episodes, but that's the general journey of it.
Yeah, 100%. So that was just a really big breakthrough for me because I ran the math and I was like, I'm so silly not to pay someone 25 hours, even if it does take them longer to take this off my hand. And so I slowly chunked off those things one at a time. And now my day generally looks like I get up at 3 or 4 in the morning just because like I naturally run, get up with the sun. Like that's a thing that I enjoy to do. I'll work between maybe like 3 and 6 in the morning. And that's like my really, really good working time because everyone in the house is asleep. No one's calling me. No one's sending me emails. Like it's just really efficient working time. And then between like 6, 6:30, 7:30, 8, I'll spend with my daughter. So like get her up, give her breakfast, take her to daycare, whatever we need to do. 8:30, I'll go to gym. 9:30, I'll go to the beach. Get home at like 10, 10:30. I eat once a day now. I'm still on the carnivore diet, but I'll eat once a day. So generally after I eat, it's like 11, 11:30. And I feel like the day's done pretty much. But after like say 11, 11:30, between then and maybe 4, that's kind of when I do any of like phone calls that I need to do or like follow up with the team and make sure that they're all running things efficiently, answer any questions that I need to do, have podcasts like this, essentially any like communication sort of thing will happen in the afternoon. And then yeah, after 4, I'll pick daughter up from daycare and spend the rest of the day with her. So
It's
yeah,
amazing.
12 hours is essentially condensed down to like 3 really solid working hours. And then the businessy phone call-y podcasty stuff I'll do in the afternoon, which I generally don't, I mean, it is work, but I love having a bit of a yarn to people anyway.
And there's a difference between working in a business and on the business, right? Like doing things like podcasts, strategic partnerships, those types of things can be a lot more on the business work as opposed to in the nuts and bolts of the delivery, the customer support, all those kinds of things. So, yeah, it's amazing what you've been able to do to go from that in such a short period of time and to have that balance now between, spending time. You can see the distinction in what you've described there. I personally do not want to wake up the time you do. But like the way you've crafted your day, it gives you a lot of flexibility to be there for family, to actually have some white space. And so it's just huge hats off to you for what you've done there. What I'm most curious, I guess, is going, okay, now that you're at this point where the business doesn't need you as much, how are you finding the hunger to move to the next level? And is your focus purely on business now, or have some things started to shift? Because I know with my own journey that when I finally kind of got a chance to step out of business, it's almost like light bulbs turn on and you start to see there's a lot more in the world than just business. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, definitely. So apart from like doing the 12 hours and then having that lesser of a relationship with my daughter and wife, when you sit down behind a computer for 12 hours a day, you start to put on a little bit of weight. And so I've always kind of been a bit of a gym guy. Like I've always gone to the gym, but I was still going through the gym. But for like I was kind of in and out. Like I'd be going for half an hour or 45 minutes. It was just to get in and out of the gym. But also, well, two things actually, which is pretty crazy, but I did end up putting on a bit of weight. So when we moved to the Gold Coast, I think I was about 108 kilos or something like that. Not huge, huge, but like I started to like really get there. And the second thing is like in the middle of COVID, especially when I was on the phone for more than like 10 hours a day, I would get off the phone and I would just be so mentally exhausted. I'd feel like a drink to just like help me get through, like help me decompress and get through the season. So during COVID, I got to a point where I was drinking like, yeah, I mean, like a two bottles of gin a week. Like, oh, it was crazy. Like, and like, I'm not much of a drinker. Like, I don't really drink. I don't get drunk, but, and I wasn't really getting drunk of it, but I really was drinking a lot just because it was affecting my mental state. And I recognized that I was doing it to get me through the rest of the day and to like get me like ready for the next day just so I could mentally completely zone out. And so there are two things that I really identified when I started to come out of it as like, this needs to change. I didn't feel great about it. I felt sluggish and overweight, and I didn't feel great. And so, yeah, after I had a little bit more of my time back, I reflected back on my sort of where I was and the weight. I've completely stopped drinking now. I don't drink alcohol, maybe on occasion, on a special occasion or something like that, but I have no desire to drink. We don't drink at home or anything, which has been awesome, but also really got back into the gym. And as I mentioned, on sort of on the carnivore diet and really been dieting. So now I'm back down to 94 kgs. So lost about, yeah, 14 kilos or something like that. And that has
Wow.
predominantly become like my main focus of a day. Like, yeah, work's important. If something stuffs up at work, I want to get on top of it, but that will never come in between getting to the gym or going for a walk or eating healthy. Just because I feel like, regardless if you have wealth or success or, friends or family come and go within your life, like your body is what stays with you regardless, right? And so that should become first because not only do I physically feel better, not only do I mentally feel better, but I just feel more prepared and more excited and more energized every single day to focus on what I need to focus. And so it's helped me really think about not working in the business and working on the business. So yeah, for me now it's less about like the cogs of internal the business. It's just making sure that I'm always in the best mental state and physical state that I can possibly be for every day. What I'm thinking about when I am working is just like, how do we 10x this? Instead of going, oh, we did 10 leads this week, we need to do 20 leads a week on average next year when you're setting your goals. It's like, well, what are the things I can do in this marketplace that I'm just going to completely revolutionize the business? What are the big plays that I can make that, yeah, it might cost me some equity. Yeah, it might cost me a significant amount of return, but it's such a big play that it's going to have a 10x return. So that, as someone said this, I can't remember who it was, but essentially creating a $1 billion business and creating a $1 million business is exactly the same effort. It's just thinking about things differently. And that's really impacted me where, you can create any sort of business that you want to create, but if you think about things the right way and the strategic way and think much bigger than just like, how do I get the next sale or the next lead? you can generate a whole lot more income for the same amount of effort and get there over a little while. So yeah, big focus for me is family, health, and just thinking a little bit more outside the box with business rather than like grinding in the business.
I love it, man. And it's what I love about it is I shared with you just before we hit recording that, as part of our dadpreneur program, we focus on four key areas, right? You've got business. And so how do you be the owner, not the operator of your business, right? Like if you want to be the king of your business, you need to be the owner, not the operator. And I can see the mental shifts for you in such a short period of time have allowed you to start to see like that, act like that. And it's showing up in the amount of time you now have available and how you think about business. And then in relationship, it's about how do you lead, not follow? How do you actually step up as the man to lead the relationship, lead your family, lead your kids, to give them the promised land, to give them the better, a better life like that they deserve. And then in the health side of things, how do you command your mind, your body, your emotions, rather than yield to them? Like the fact that you were needing your vices of, and we've all got them. We've all got our vices, right? For some men, it's pornography. For some men, it's gaming. For other men, it's business itself, right? We've all got it, whether it's alcohol, weed, whatever. And so you got to be able to overcome those and command it. And they can see that you got to the point where you're like, no, this has got to change. I need to do this. And then finally in wealth, which is the place that your business actually sits in, which for us, we talk about you need to protect and not risk, because you're already taking so much risk in business. Business is a highly, highly strong, powerful return. And in some ways, the risk can be mitigated because the smarter you get or the more educated you get and the people you have around you, but it's still probably one of the highest risk assets you can own, but you have a lot more control over. So you want to make sure that outside of business that you're focusing on things that protect your family, protect you. And I know you already, we didn't touch on it, but you already have a property portfolio as well. Like you've got all these pieces in place, and it's just, we haven't personally known each other a long time, but knowing your journey and the conversations we've had, like I really am hats off to you for what you've created, and I love where you're at. And I love the problem that you're solving. You found a true need that people have. And so while you're solving it for the buyer's agents, which are the people who value it, this is a need that anyone who's trying to build a property portfolio truly is like, how do I plan this? Like once you've bought your first, maybe your second, once you get past two properties, you start to go, okay, well, if I've got, as long as you've got the cash flow to keep you going, what do I do with it? How do I actually continue this journey in a way that's sustainable? And that's exactly what your software does. Obviously, for people who want to find that, gameplans.com.au is the website. Before we kind of, wrap things up, though, I would love to go, I guess, a little bit on the practical of, you've mentioned a lot about 10x is better than 2x book. You've mentioned about how you started hiring people. But if you were to go back and give advice to that Jordan who is just, he's just got his daughter in his arms and he's looking at her and going, wow, I was like this. And remembering that your dad's looking a lot older and you're like, oh, I'm only 30 odd years away from that. If you could go back to that moment and you could whisper something in Jordan's ear, what would you tell him? What would that advice be that you would give to that version of Jordan?
Yeah, I think like if it was just a one little whisper, it would like just go do it. As you said, it's risky in business. You are taking steps out, you are getting uncomfortable. But, Jordan Peterson's got this really, really good quote, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's something about like the thing about life that's so interesting is that you're all in. No matter what you do, no matter where you're at, you're all in on this thing. Like this life is going to kill you one day. So why not just play the most magnificent game while you're here? And I'm choking up about this because it's like I get really emotional about it. And it's such a strong statement. It's like, we're here. This life's going to kill us. Like, why not just do the best that we possibly can while we're here? Because we're just going to die one day anyway. I would much rather, like, I have been a gamer in the past. Like, I played World of Warcraft for 18 hours a day. You think 12 hours a day is bad? Go back and watch me playing World of Warcraft. Like, I've been there, I've done that journey. But if you can just turn that energy and turn that time and turn that concentration into building a business that you love and enjoy and you thrive in, like it's got such a better outcome than like wasting time and playing video games and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong, like occasionally I'll play a video game on a weekend just to debrief, but yeah, man, we've only got one life. It's super short.
Yes.
It's gonna kill us. Like, why not just play the best game while we're here?
That's a really good piece of advice. And it's true, right? Like we are in this one life. Like you mentioned before, we have this one body. Like, how we show up controls whether or not, our relationships stay with us, but we can't control whether they pass away and all those things. But you're right. Like, as long as we're alive, that body's there and we're in this moment no matter what. I like that. It's a really cool way of putting it. So I think this is a good place to wrap, man. Like, I love your journey. If people want to connect with you, obviously we've mentioned gameplans.com.au. Where else can they find you? Do you have podcasts? What, you know, what's the connection?
Yeah, probably super active on LinkedIn and Facebook. So you'll be able to find me there. I'll give you my
They'll be in the
links
show
to
notes.
check
Yep.
them out. So just Jordan De Jong. Or you can shoot me an email if you want to, just jordan@gameplans.com.au. Happy to just mention the podcast and we can have a bit of a chit chat and catch up. But yeah, all social media outlets.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in, listeners. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as I have. Huge thank you to Jordan for his wisdom and sharing his journey. If you want to get the links, you know, if we said something and you're like, I can't remember that, what were those different things that were mentioned? You can find the transcript, you can find links, you can find basically a whole summary of this episode over at the show notes, which are at rising.show, rising.show. And if you've been listening to this for a while and you haven't left us a review yet on Spotify, just click us the star rating. I'd love it to be a 5-star, but if it's not worth 5 stars, that's okay. Just give us whatever you need. And if you're on Apple, you can leave a little comment. That would be amazing. But most importantly, if there was someone who came to mind while you were listening to this or watching this on YouTube, and you're like, my friend needs to hear this, or my brother or my dad or whoever, someone came to mind is like, they need to hear this. Grab the little link, shoot it to them, because one of the best gifts you can give them is expanding their mind by exposing them to this stuff. It's going to help them. It's going to help me build the show. And ultimately, you'll probably get some credit too for helping expose them to their stuff. So if you haven't already, think of that person and go and grab the link and send it to them now. All right. Until next time, keep up the journey. Hey, fellow dadpreneur, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you've missed something said on today's episode, you can find transcripts, links, and other notes from today's episode, as well as all other episodes over at rising.show. That's .show, not .com. So head over to rising.show to get all the information that you need.
This episode was brought to you by Automation Agency. If you're sick of Fiverr and Upwork and want a reliable team of experts who can turn your marketing ideas into marketing duns, then head over to automationagency.com and check out what they can do. Whether it's graphic design tasks for social media, your presentations, or tech tasks like building funnels and email automations, or content creation tasks like copywriting and video editing, Automation Agency is the one team you need to help you market your business and free up your time to focus on more important things. So go and check out automationagency.com.